Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I'm going to be speaking about the simple gospel, simple church. And this week we'll be starting a series for this month. It's just our vision month. We're going to be talking about who we are as a church and kind of what that means, those statements that we make as a church: encounter Jesus, dwell in love, echo hope. But I'm going to start this week with this message entitled Simple Church. And that word simple, you know, we can take it to mean, you know, something negative or easy. But the problem is, so many times those types of things trip us up because we think things should be complicated. We think so many things should be added to, or there should be more to something. But the deal is that there should be nothing added to the gospel. There should be nothing added to the church besides who Jesus is. You know, sometimes we think that we'll find comfort in knowing or having lots of things, you know, like people collect things, or, you know, you just don't want to get rid of stuff because somehow it gives us comfort. But we think that if we don't have or we don't know that we are going to be uncomfortable, when in reality, that is the complete opposite. I know for myself, whenever I clean out something, when we clean the house, clean a car, if I get rid of a lot of the mess, I feel way more comfortable. When I don't have to, you know, I've even talked to Tori about, like, just getting rid of all the glasses and cups and plates and bowls and like 45 forks and 52 spoons, and I got some people here. Come on. Because you know those things, and you go into the drawer and you're like, where is that? You know? And there's five of them up in one kid's room, a couple of things over in our room, and, you know, a bunch of stuff in the sink. And it's like, there's so much stuff, and we think that the stuff is somehow gonna comfort us. The adding to is going to comfort us, but actually it makes life more difficult. Somehow, like, if we have this fancy house or these flashing light, you know, you think like, oh, if I did this and all this stuff. Now, I'm not saying don't, like, remodel your house. I'm not saying don't make it nice. That's not what I'm saying. The point that I want to make with this illustration is that sometimes we think that that is what is going to bring people into our house. Like, if I do this, it's going to be so nice and people will like it and people will like me. But when you have somebody over to your house, they're not coming to see your so nicely redone kitchen. They're coming to see you. They're coming because of the relationship that they have with you. Now, would it be nice if it's cleaned up and looks nice? It's not what I'm saying. But the point I'm trying to make is it's the relationship that brings them over. And too many times we start thinking that in the church there should be all these things added. Or maybe if we do this, then the people will come. Maybe if we do this, we do that, do all these things, then all of a sudden. But the reality of it is that it's not about the stuff, it's about the relationship. The reason that we're all here is not because of something that this church has, it's who it knows. It's the relationship. And that's really the basis of this message today, is that we cannot get ourselves wrapped around these thoughts of if this happens or that happens or whatever happens in the world or whatever happens in the church. What I want to be completely engulfed in is who Jesus is. That relationship with him. And I got this book. Actually, Eileen gave it to me a few weeks ago, and it's like, if you want something to slap you in the face, then you just read it. So it's called Letters to Malcolm, Chiefly on Prayer by C.S. Lewis. And it's these letters he was writing to his friend, back and forth to his friend. And I want to read a couple of quotes from this book today. The first one says, as long as you notice and have to count the steps, you're not yet dancing, but only learning to dance. A good shoe is a shoe you don't notice. A good reading becomes possible when you need not consciously think about eyes or light or print or spelling. The perfect church service would be one where we were almost unaware of. Our attention would have been on God. And I believe that that quote perfectly kind of wraps up the basis of this message in my heart in this, and I believe what God is speaking to us. And he says, listen, if you're thinking about the steps when you're trying to dance, you're still learning. You're not dancing if you still have to think about it. You're just still practicing. If you're thinking about the words and the lights and your eyes when you're reading a book, you're not really reading. You're just kind of trying to do something. Good shoes. I love the way that C.S. Lewis, I don't know if you think you do know that about me. I love the way that he writes. But man, I love shoes whenever you don't even realize they're on your feet. You know, those are good shoes. But then taking that and putting that into the church and saying, man, what if we could do church in a way that nobody even really thought about all the stuff that we're doing, because we're not doing it to put on a show. We're not doing it for any other reason but to have them come into this relationship with Jesus. That when we come into this place, I don't want to think about all the stuff. Now, we have worship. We have amazing worship. Beautiful, pure worship. We have a lobby, we have seats, and hopefully the seats are good so you don't even have to think about them. You know what I'm saying? That's the worst kind of seat, the one that hurts your butt. And you're thinking about how you're in pain instead of listening to the message. But the point is, it's like, I just want to have a time with Jesus. I want to come in, and for all of us, like if we all come in, I believe we do. We come in, and it's just entering in and just taking and worshiping God. We don't even realize, oh yeah, there's people singing up there, but I don't even care. It's just, I'm having this time with him. That's simple church. In Acts 2, verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In this scripture, this is, of course, the early church, and after the Spirit of God fell on the people, and it just says, hey, you know what they did? They didn't create some big building. They didn't do all this stuff or have this light show. What did they do? They got together and talked about God and ate some food. Man, eating food. But they just did life together. They came together as a people and talked about who God was as they were doing life. They spent time together. It was simple. It says, with gladness and simplicity of heart. They weren't complicating things. They weren't making things more than what they were. They were just coming and sharing about who Jesus was and talking about what he had done. It wasn't complex or complicated. See, this word simplicity, the simple gospel, it just means clear, plain, uncomplicated, not added to. I think that's a problem. A lot of times is that there's a lot being added to the gospel. There's a lot being added to, well, oh, if we have this or do this or if I accomplish this. I'm talking about even with us personally. So many times we try to add these things on that, like, if I do this, it will help God to be pleased with me. If I act this way or do this certain thing, that God will be pleased with me. And the thing is that we can't do enough for him to, like, change his mindset for us. His mind is already made up. He's pleased. He loves us. He created us. He knows us. He knows who we are, and he knows what we've done. And that didn't change the way that he thought about us. And nothing we do makes it any better. Now, step back a little bit. Of course, when we come to know him, we should strive to live like him. We should do everything in our power to live in the righteousness, not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of who he is. See, as we come to know him, it's not our works or something that we do that saves us. It's his grace. It's his love. It's what he did on the cross that saved us. But because he saved us, because my heart has been changed, our hearts have been changed, it should cause us to want to do something. Not that that makes us saved, but whenever I get changed because of Christ, I want to do something about it. It makes me want to work for him. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ. So in this scripture, in this place where he's writing to these people and he's saying, listen, I'm just worried. I'm a little fearful and worried about you. They were dealing with people adding things like, well, you know, in order to be saved, you have to do this and this, and you got to wash your hands. I mean, this was all kinds of stuff going on, and you have to follow this person. Or do this thing. And in the scripture, Paul say, I'm just a little bit worried about you guys, and I want to you to know that I'm afraid that you might be drawn away because there's people trying to give you these complexities, these things that you might have to, they say that you have to do in order to be saved or in order to be right with God. But the thing is that the gospel of Christ in its simplicity is all you need. And the thing that trips us up sometimes is we keep thinking there's something that needs to be added to it. Maybe I need to add something to it. Maybe I need to do something more. And I think about the way that he says this. He says, As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted by the simplicity that's in Christ. Now think about the garden. Everything was placed before them. There was one thing that was withheld, right? That God said, just don't eat of that tree. Just don't take that fruit. But everything you have is here. Your relationship, everything you need, you've got it. There was nothing added, nothing needed. But it says the serpent came. The enemy came and deceived them into thinking that they needed to do something else or needed more than what God had given them. And he's saying, all you need is Christ. Seek him. Have this relationship with him. He's all you need. And in 2 Corinthians 1:12, it says, for our boasting is this, that the testimony of our conscience that we have conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. What he's saying here is he's like, the thing that I can boast in, what I am, I don't boast in anything really, but what I want to just say to you when I boast in is that I have not added anything to Christ. That's what he's saying. Simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. Said, the one thing that I will boast in is that I have not added anything to the gospel of Christ. That I've not said to you that you need to do all these extra things or said anything but what Christ said. Those are the things that I boast in. He says, there's nothing more that's needed. And you have to understand, in that day, there was all these things. Of course, before Christ, there's all the religious people that are doing all these things, all this stuff, and somehow that you were righteous if you did it this way. And then Christ comes, and he comes in just this simplistic, simple fashion. I mean, not real simple, but he comes fully God and fully man, as a baby, born in a manger, not in a palace, son of a carpenter, not a multi-billionaire businessman. He comes in and says, what I have for you isn't about the money, it's not about the power, it's not about the control, it's not about anything else but the relationship. And he taught simple lessons. I mean, think about the Beatitudes. They're not complex. They're not hard to understand. Of course, they're deep and have much revelation in them, but he spoke to people in parables that they would understand, and I'm thinking about this and thinking about how much that we take the gospel and try to make it complex or try to make it work for us or mean the thing that we want it to mean and change what it's saying. And I believe God is speaking to us, and he's saying, listen, if you can just get back to the heart of what I've done, if you could just get back to the heart that our relationship is just about us meeting together and loving each other and nothing more, that it is about me coming and being with you, that God can come and be with you and sustain you and comfort you and be your peace. Why would we think we need anything more? Can I give you another quote? All right. A still worse thing may happen, C.S. Lewis says, and he's talking about this stuff being added and how it just needs to be about our relationship and just coming and not thinking about the complexities, but just thinking about our relationship with God. And he says, a still worse thing may happen. Novelty may fix our attention, not even on the service, but on the celebrant. You know what I mean. Do you know what he means? He's saying novelty, these things, other things may fix our attention on the person that's in the room, not on the person that we are worshiping. You know what I mean? Try as one may to exclude it, the question, what on earth is he up to now, will intrude. It lays one's devotion waste. There is really some excuse for the man who said, I wish they'd remember that the charge to Peter was feed my sheep, not try experiments on my rats, or even teach my performing dogs new tricks. That's pretty strong. It's a pretty strong statement. But he's saying, look, this statement that was made, he's even quoting somebody else, and he's like, I just think about this. Too many times we come in and what's presented makes us think about the people in the room and not on the God who is with us. And we should remember that the charge to Peter was feed my sheep, not teach my dogs new tricks or perform experiments on my rats. Like, it's a strong statement, but it makes so clear this point that why do we think that we need to do more? That we need to add something so that maybe people will be drawn in or maybe we'll come into this relationship? We don't need to add anything to the gospel of Christ. We don't need to add anything to the church. All we need to do is come in. And God is here. The relationship that we need, that everybody, every single person on this planet needs, is here. Well, not just here, but when we come into church, it's not about the stuff, it's about the one. It's about the God who created us. And in Matthew 16, you have this story where Jesus is with his disciples and he asked them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And they start saying, well, some say John the Baptist. Some say, you know, Jeremiah or Elijah. And, you know, people are saying all these things. All kinds of people are saying you're different, you know, some of these different prophets. And, you know, and he's like, no, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? In verse 15. He said to them, but who do you say? Don't tell me what somebody else says. Just tell me what you are saying. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, he isn't building his church on Peter, but he named him Peter, which means a rock. And he's speaking something. He's saying, there's a rock. There's a revelation that you've received, Peter, and that is a rock that I will build my church on. And what is it? It's this revelation that he got, that he received from God, that Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is everything that we need. He received the simplicity of the gospel in that moment, and Jesus told him, yes, and I'm going to call you a rock, and on that rock, on that revelation that you have received just now, I am going to build my church on that revelation. And on that revelation, the gates of hell won't prevail. And I love that it's just like, it's not like, yeah, and if you, you know, study the book of Revelation and know the end times, and if you, you know, have 500 scriptures memorized and all this stuff, then hell won't prevail against you. No. What is it that hell won't prevail against? It's that he is Christ, Son of the living God. That he is everything that we need. That revelation is the rock that we should stand on. Man. There's a lot of stuff that we as God's people need to be a part of. But the basis that everything that we do should be that revelation. And the answer to that question, who do you believe that he is? If we try to work our way around that or doing other things or adding things to who he is, we're not really standing on the rock that he's placed for us to stand on. And I ask that question now and just say, who do you believe that he is? See, Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, go into all the nations, preach the gospel, pray for the sick, heal them, baptize them. And as you do, signs and wonders will follow you wherever you go. And I think about that and I say, what are we doing that is not that simple gospel call that Jesus has spoken to us? Are there things in our lives that are taking us away from that simple gospel? Are there things that are keeping us away from that relationship with him? It's not about our works. It's not about us being good enough, because we can't be good enough to have a relationship with him. All we can do is come before him and lay at his feet and say, I need you. I need you. And he says, who do you say that I am? Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.